Chapter 26 Central Bermuda. While Kurt was successfully getting captured at Tessa's compound, Joe was on the road, driving a small van toward a tricky intersection near the estate where Oliver Warren was staying.
"How do I let Kurt talk me into this stuff?" he mumbled.
"What was that?" Priya replied over the phone. Joe had almost forgotten they were on an open line.
"Nothing. Just wondering if my olfactory senses will ever recover."
He drove with the windows down, the fan on, and the AC running full blast, but nothing, and he meant nothing, seemed to reduce the smell of rotting fish coming from the rear of the van. Piles of dead fish filled the back, packed with just enough ice to make it look like they were being shipped somewhere.
"Catch of the day," Joe said, "but which day?"
All he knew for sure was that the load of fish had been destined for a compost pile until Kurt's bright idea had put them in the back of Joe's rental van.
"You're coming up on the roundabout," Priya said. "You sure you know how to handle that?"
Joe was just fine remembering to stay on the left-hand side of the road. With a bit of traffic, all he had to do was follow the car in front of him.
"I'll do my best," Joe said. "But what do the English have against traffic lights and cold beer?"
"Roundabouts are fun," Priya said, defending the country she'd grown up in. "And you can't really taste ice-cold beer." She had a point.
"Any sign of Warren?" "I'm still tapped into the limo company's server," Priya said. "The driver just reported picking him up. They're leaving the manor house now."
"Thanks," Joe said. "I'll keep circling this roundabout like a vulture. Just hope I can drive straight when I get back on the road."
"Don't get dizzy," she said. "Also, the limo isn't a limousine. It's a silver Lincoln MKX, a big sport utility vehicle."
"As long as it has tires," Joe said. "But thanks for the heads up." Joe could hear Priya tapping away at her keyboard.
"I'm going to program your map system with the GPS data from the limo company's internal tracking network," she said. "That way, you'll be able to find Warren if you get separated."
Joe had never worked directly with Priya before, but he was enjoying it.
"Have to say, you're a lot more organized and prepared than Kurt.
Don't tell him I said that."
"Don't worry," she said. "I would never violate hacker client privilege."
Joe looked down at the navigation display on his phone. He saw two moving dots on the street map, a blue one for him and a red one for the SUV that Warren was riding in.
"He's coming down the middle road as expected," Priya said. Bermuda was long and thin. It had three main roads that ran the length of the island: North Shore Road on one coast, South Road on the other coast, and the aptly named Middle Road running along the spine of the island.
"I see him," Joe said. "I'm going to make one more loop and then pull out in front of him." Joe circled the roundabout once more, slowing so he could cut Warren off. Several passing cars honked their horns at him. Joe ignored them and continued to dawdle until he spotted the stark white headlights of the brand new Lincoln coming his way. He sped up, pulled hard to the left, and then had to swerve at the last second to avoid a pair of tourists on mopeds. Horns blared again, and not in the friendly way that everyone on the island tended to honk at everyone they knew.
"You all right?" Priya asked.
"Barely," Joe said. "This is turning out to be more dangerous than I thought. I'm in front of the Lincoln now. Just need to get some open space before I stop him." The problem Joe faced was stopping the SUV without causing a major accident. They had to inconvenience Warren, not injure him or anyone else on the road. At the moment, Joe could see additional mopeds in a loose line behind the Lincoln. He slowed down but made it impossible for the Lincoln to pass. This forced the mopeds to slow almost to a stop. Finally, the riders had had enough. They pulled wide, darting past the Lincoln, then Joe's van, all in one quick move. With traffic gone, Joe accelerated, baiting the Lincoln into speeding up. Once Warren's driver began to close the gap, Joe put his hand on a hastily installed toggle switch that was taped to the console. The switch was linked to a small set of explosives attached to the back doors of the van. When the explosives went off, the doors would blow open and allow the load of not-so-fresh fish to pour out the back, sliding down an angled ramp that Joe had wedged into place. Hidden in the bed of ice beneath the fish was a tube of soft vinyl irrigation line.
Inside that tube were additional explosive charges, just enough to blow holes in the run-flat tires that any new SUV would be using. It was a great plan, Joe thought. The explosives would blow the tires, the ice would smother the explosives and hide the residue. And the fish? Well, that was just inspired window dressing. With a final look, Joe flipped the switch and a bang reverberated through the van. Blue smoke swirled forward as the cargo surged out the back, spreading across the road behind him. The Lincoln ran over the mess, triggering three small flashes that took out the tires. It skidded forward another 30 feet before coming to a stop. Joe slammed on his own brakes and brought the van to the side of the road. "Operation Fishmonger is underway. Getting out to make my apologies." "I'm here when you need me," Priya replied. Putting one earbud in and placing the phone in his pocket, Joe put the emergency flashers on and stepped out of the van. By the time he reached the Lincoln, the driver was outside studying the mess. "You idiot!" the driver shouted. "My load of fish," Joe said. "It's ruined." "Who cares about your fish?" the driver said. "Look what you've done. Look at my tires." Joe looked at the Lincoln. Two of the tires were blown off their rims. A third had a gaping hole in the sidewall. The fourth was untouched, but a single spare wasn't going to get the vehicle anywhere. "Oh, man," Joe said. "That looks bad." "Really bad," the driver said. "I'm so sorry," Joe said. "I don't know what happened. Let me call my company. I'll get you the insurance information." Joe pulled out the phone and pretended to dial. By now, the stench of the old fish was becoming more noticeable. It covered the lingering smell of the explosives and soon had the Lincoln driver putting a hand over his mouth. Strangely, Joe could barely smell it anymore. He pretended to talk on the phone for a minute and then went silent. "I'm on hold," he said. "Typical. Absolutely typical." As Joe stood there, the back door of the SUV opened and a man got out. It wasn't Warren. Had to be a bodyguard. He walked carefully toward Joe and the Lincoln's driver, making sure not to step on any of the rotting fish. Warren got out as well, but stayed by the Lincoln. "What is this ridiculousness?" "Just an accident," Joe said. "No big deal. We're going to fix everything. I'm calling my company now." "I don't have time for this," Warren said, looking at his watch. "Let's get out of here." The driver shook his head. "Sorry, Mr. Warren. I'll have to get you another car." "Another car?" The driver pointed to the ruined tires. Warren looked down and then shook his head in disgust. "Make it quick," he snapped. "The stench is killing me." With that, Warren got back in the SUV, slammed the door, and rolled the window up tight. Joe doubted that would protect him from the aroma. With all the rotting fish around, Warren might as well have been sitting in a bowl of day-old fish soup. Joe continued to remain on hold. "High call volume," he said, "but my call is important to them." The driver pulled out his own phone and called in for a replacement, but thanks to some highly inappropriate computer work, this call went not to the driver's office, but to Priya. Listening to his own phone, Joe heard every word. "Dispatch, this is Sherman in car 6," the driver said. "Hate to report this, but I've had an accident. We're going to need a tow truck and a replacement car brought out for Mr. Warren as soon as possible. And I mean as soon as humanly possible." "I've got you at the intersection of Middle Road and Parsons Lane," Priya said, sounding authentically Bermudian with her British accent. "We're a few hundred yards past that," the driver said. "I'll call for a tow and send another car," she replied. "Please tell Mr. Warren to remain in the vehicle for safety reasons." "Of course," the driver replied. "Just hurry. It stinks down here." The phone call ended. Joe gave the driver a false set of insurance papers, made his apologies, taped the back doors shut, and drove off. Oliver Warren, his bodyguard, and the Lincoln driver would wait a frustrating 20 minutes, call once more for another car, and then wait further. After the second call, and realizing that the stench of fish had permeated his clothes, Warren contacted his secretary, had her reach out to Tessa Franco and cancel the date. He offered his apologies and suggested they reschedule, indicating that dinner any of the next 3 nights would be fine, as long as it wasn't seafood.